Okay, it's nice to see everyone for our first shiur for the new Zman. I guess we'll give it another 30 seconds. I see a couple more people are coming on. Okay. So as I was preparing the shiur for tonight, it dawned on me that unfortunately, or fortuitously, the shiur I think is very resonant to the times that we are in right now. Hold on, I got to plug in my computer before the battery goes. 1 second. Okay, we have power. Okay. So if you recall where we left off our story some 4 months ago before the summer, we're in the middle of Shmuel Beis, as Rabbi Angel pointed out when we did our Siyum on Shmuel Aleph. There is no Shmuel Aleph and there is no Shmuel Beis. It's all Sefer Shmuel, but these are, you know, how we break it up into two books. But there isn't really no Shmuel Beis per se. Nevertheless, in Shmuel Beis, we left off at the end of Perek Tes, and we had been developing a theme of David HaMelech, that David HaMelech continuously has been going lifnim mishura sadin. You have to ask Rabbi Angel. It's lifnim mishura sadin. We see how he conducts himself with his enemies. We see how he conducts himself with the house of Shaul. We see how he conducts himself with the offspring of Shaul. And the very last thing, and various other situations where David conducts himself in a way which is going above and beyond what could be expected of him, and certainly above the strict letter of the law. And so here in our last perek, if you recall, Vayomer David, just two lines from the last perek Tes, Vayomer David, Hachi Yeshod Asher Nosar LeBeis Shaul. Is there anybody left from the house of Shaul? Ve'eseimo chesed. I want to do a chesed with that remnant for Yonatan. He and Yonatan had a bond, had a covenant, had a commitment to each other, and he wanted to honor that. And indeed, they find Mephibosheth, this crippled offspring of from the house of Shaul. And David gives him all of the estate and all of the wealth and all of the land and all of the everything that belonged to the house of Shaul, went to this Mephibosheth, including his servant, and Mephibosheth is set up for life. And that is the springboard upon which Perek Yud opens, and that's where we begin tonight. I'm going to share my screen with you. If you happen to have a Navi with you, even better. If not, you at least you have the Sfaria text in front of you. Okay. So the parak begins. Vayhi acharei. 1 second. There we go. Make this just a little easier to read for the moment. Well, I'll bring back the English in a second. And after some time had passed, the king of Ammon had died. And his son Chanun reigned in his place. Vayomer David, and David said, I want to do a chesed for Chanun ben Nachash. Kasher asa aviv imadi, just like Chanun's father Nachash did with me. He did a chesed. Vayishlach David lenachamo b'yad avadav el aviv, vayavou avde David eretz b'nei Ammon. Okay, so what is this? What is this referring to over here? So I told you I was going to bring back up the English, so I'm bringing it back up. Okay, so vayishlach David lenachamo b'yad aviv. David sent some messengers to go be Menachem Avel by Nachash's Shiva house, right? And So he sent messengers on his behalf. Vayavo avde David eretz bnei Amon, which is, by the way, is an interesting shaila in halacha, not our topic tonight. Can you do nichum avelim through a messenger? Of course, this is not true nichum avelim over here. He's a non-Jew. He's melech Amon. There's no mitzvah, although it's certainly a nice thing to do. So David wants to do the chesed, just as Nachash had done for me. So the question we start with tonight is, what exactly was the chesed that Nachash did for David? Does anybody know offhand? What is the chesed? He says, I want to do a chesed to pay back, as it were, just as Hanun's father Nachash did for me. So if you look in the Navi, it's not clear exactly from reading the psukim what exactly Nachash did for David. We do know a little bit about Nachash. We do know a little bit about Nachash. Let me just get the pasuk here. I didn't write it down, so if I can't find it very quickly, I'll just cite it for you. Sorry about that, folks. Okay, so what do we know about Nachash? Well, we might recall that Nachash was a really terrible, terrible person, right? Nachash indeed had gone to war with Bnei Yisrael at some point, and he came to the people of, I'm blanking on the name. I didn't write down the pasuk, but he came to a certain town, and he waged war on Bnei Yisrael, and they wanted to come to some type of compromise, and he basically just went out to full out war. I mean, a terrible, terrible guy. So what's the chesed that Nachash did that is being alluded to over here? So, because of the fact that you can't really find it, clearly in the psukim, at least easily find it in the psukim, the Mefarshim addressed this question. So now I'm going to reshare my screen with you. Okay. And when we look at the, here we go. When we look at the Mefarshim, so I'm going to click over here. There's a Medrash. And the Medrash says the following. Take a look over here. And it's cited in later Rishonim as well. Uma chesed asa Nachash. Everybody see it over here where my cursor is? Uma chesed asa Nachash and David. What exactly is the chesed that Nachash did with David? She'amar, that David said, Kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. I want to repay him for the chesed that he did with my father. Ella, what was it? Kishibarach David me Shaul. When David ran away from Shaul, halach David v'chol beis aviv etzel Moab. So David and his family, he brought his mother, his father, his siblings. They went to Moab to sort of hide out in Moab to escape from the treacherous hands of his father-in-law Shaul, right? So Amar Lahem David leMoav. David said to Moav. Here's the pasuk. Kablu beSaba, do me a favor, Moav. Right? He's speaking to Nachash. He's speaking to the king of Moav. He says, do me a favor. Take my parents. Take my father. Take my family. Right? Or to paraphrase Jack Benny, take my wife, please. Shene emar, vayanchem David v'chol beis aviv etzel Moav. Pasuk says that David brought his family, he led them off to Moav, and there they were going to get protection. Vayomer el melech Moav, and he says to the king of Moav, Yetzei na avi v'imi, V'kablu osam. Do me a favor. Take my mother and father, accept them. And now I'm going to take you back to Shmuel Aleph 22. Shmuel Aleph 22. We'll just read a couple of those lines inside. Shmuel Aleph 22. Here. Right here on the page. Pasuk 5. Pasuk 4. Vayanchem es pnei melech Moab, vayeshvu imo kol yimei hayos David bamitzudah. So David brought his family to set up shop and to be protected by Melech Moab. And they were there kol yimei hayos David bamitzudah, as long as David remained in the mitzudah, in the fortress, in the stronghold. The implication is, therefore, that after he left, you know, they didn't offer David's family that protection. And this brings us back to our Medrash. So the Medrash says, Kevan sheyatza David, once David left, Amad Melech Moav, the king of Moav arose, V'harag le'aviv u'le'imo le'achiv shel David. He slaughtered, he butchered, he killed, he assassinated David's family. Who are the David's family? David ben Yishai, right? His father Yishai. So according to this Medrash, Yishai dies at the hand of Melech Moav, who was supposed to protect him. And his mother also, Mrs. Yishai. Ula Achiv and his brothers as well. Says the Medrash, from the entire family, lo nishtayer mehem ela echad. Only one person survived. Shene emar. LiYehuda Elihu me'achei David. Elihu survived. And that's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. V'yomar Rabbi Levi HaKohen Bar Chalafta. And Rabbi Levi HaKohen Bar Chalafta says, Shelo nishtar mehem ala echad ve'heich nimlat Elihu ela barach mimelech Moav. So how did the brother of the David HaMelech Elihu, how did he survive? Okay, again, none of this is in the psukim per se. How did he survive? Ela, says the Medrash, Barach mimelech Moav, he ran away from the king of Moav. The halach etzel Nachash melech b'nei Ammon. And he ran into the hands of Nachash, the king of Ammon, the kiblo. And indeed, Nachash did accept him and did offer him protection. Shalach melech Moav, yamar l'Nachash, shema ba echad me'achei David etzlecha. So the king of Moav came over to Nachash and he said, wink, wink, whisper, whisper. Did any of the family of David happen to, you know, come by here recently? Amar lo, and Nachash responded, Lav, nope, haven't seen anybody. Ushmaro ad sheba David, and he protected Elihu until David came back. Lekach amar David, and this is what David is referring to when he says, Ese chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. I want to do a chesed with Chanun, the son of Nachash. So, on one level, it seems that what's going on here is, you know, paying back for a chesed that was done, and that would seem to be certainly a nice thing to do. You know, what could be bad about that? So you have to ask yourself, what's strange here? When the Torah, when the Navi tells us that David did a chesed with Chanun ben Nachash, there's something a little odd about that. Who's getting paid back for the chesed that was done? Was it the one who executed the chesed? No. The one who did the chesed was Nachash. The one who's getting the chesed done to him is Chanun ben Nachash. And even if you want to say it was Nachash himself, because they were, you know, going to the Shiva house to be Menachem Avel, but, you know, Nachash is dead. So why in fact did David not offer some type of, you know, remuneration, some type of acknowledgement of the Chesed during Nachash's lifetime? Why did he wait for Nachash to die showing him this great kavod and doing him this great chesed? So here, I'm not going to show you inside, but the Mefarshim say
that there's a problem.
The problem is that the Torah says you're not supposed to make shalom with Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab are two bad, nations. Awful midos, acted terribly to Klal Yisrael. And while it's true that it would be a nice thing for David to pay back the chesed, had he gone to Nachash during Nachash's lifetime, he feared it would have demanded a treaty, some type of covenant between the two peoples. And so he didn't want to face Nachash because he didn't want to turn Nachash down and say, I'm not making a treaty with you. So he did the next best thing, which is that he waited for Nachash to die, and he was Menachem Avel, and he did it that way. So that's what some of the Mefarshim point out, right? So what we're seeing now is that it's true that David did a chesed, but the person he's doing a chesed for is comes from a people that we got to be very, very careful about. You know, maybe on an individual basis, you can have a relationship, but as a nation, these people are bad news. They are corrupt. Their midos are internally corrosive. So you got to be very, very careful. So that being the case, let's go back to the psukim. Let me share my screen with you again. So Vayomer David says, Es chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. I want to do this chesed with Chanun, son of Nachash, just like Nachash did with me. So what does David do? Vayishlach David l'nachamo biyad aviv el aviv. By the way, it's interesting. There's a word connection here. It says, Vayishlach David l'nachamo. David sent messengers to go be Menachem Avel. And when the story, and originally it tells us the story that David brought his family to Melech Moab. It says Vayanchem. He leads them along. Okay. Anyway, they ultimately get to the safe hands of Nachash. Nachash protects them. So Vayavo Avdei David Eretz Bnei Amon. So they come to Amon. Vayomru Sarei Bnei Amon, and they say to the officers of the nation of Amon, El Chanun Adonehem. To pass on a message to Chanun, their master. Hamechabed, I'm sorry, Vayomru Sarei Bnei Amon El Chanun Adoneim. And the Sarim, the officers of Amon, tell Chanun, their master, the following. You saw that David just came? His messengers came to be Menachem Avel? What are you, crazy? You think that he came to be Menachem Avel? Ha-mechabe David es avicha be'enecha? Ki shalach lecha Menachemim? You think that David is coming to be Menachem Avel? You think that he's coming to give your father respect? Halo ba'avur chakores ha'iru l'raglo la'havcha shalach David es avadav elecha? No, say Chanun ben Nachash's advisors to him. The reason that David has come, or the reason that David has sent these representatives, is to scout out the city, to spy us out, in order to conquer us and to overthrow us. That's what happened over here. That's why David has sent the messengers. This is what the corrupt thinking of Bnei Amon are going through their minds. So Vayikach Chanun es Avdei David. So Chanun takes the servants of David, his representatives, who had come to be Menachem Avel in order to pay back a chesed that had been done all those years earlier for Chanun's father Nachash. Vayigalach es Chatzi Zekanam, and he shaves off half of their beards. Vayichros es Madvehem b'chetzi ad shesosehem. And he tore their garments down to their behinds. Vayishalchem. So, what did Chanun do here? He attempted to shame them. He cut off the beard off of half their face, and he tore off their garments, so their lower body is exposed. Their private parts are exposed. How embarrassing and shameful is that to be in such a state? I think this is the first time that we find that Jews are abused by shearing off their beard. I'm sure we've seen pictures from the Nazi Holocaust, from the Shoah, of Jews whose beards were either shaved off in part or in whole. Famously, I believe it was the Klausenberger Rebbe who couldn't grow a beard. He looked like a child, even in old age, because he wasn't able to grow a beard because the Nazis ripped the beard out of his face. And so it tore out of the hair follicles. He couldn't grow, he grew a very scraggly beard afterwards, after he survived. Right? So I think this is the first time in history that we have documented that the way to oppress a Jew is to cut off their beard. Not even the whole beard. Chatzi zakanam. So in other words, cutting off the beard is one level of rishus, right? Of one level of type of shaming a person, removing their human dignity. But cutting off half the beard is even worse than that. That's like, you know, at least you cut off the beard, there's some level of dignity as a, you know, as a non-Jew, if you will, you know, but cutting off half the beard is not even human, right? Nobody walks around with half a beard. So this is what Chanun did to the servants of David. Vayagidu leDavid, and they tell David, they come back, they tell me, Yishlach lekrasam, ki ayu anashim nichlamim me'od, and they come back and they tell him how terribly, terribly shamed and embarrassment was done to his representatives. Vayomer hamelech shavu biricho ad yitzamach zekarchem v'shavtem. Go stay in Yericho until your beards grow back and you can return. So he doesn't say shave off the other half of the beard. He says wait until your beards come back so you can live with dignity. Vayiru b'nei Amon ki nevashu b'David. The Ammonis realized that they incurred the wrath of David. Vayishalchu b'nei Amon vayiskuru saram beis rechov es aram tzova. They go and they hire and they make an alliance for hire with Aram beis rechov and Aram tzova. Esther melech ragli, 20,000 soldiers. Ves melech maka, and another 1,000 soldiers from the king of Maka. Ish, elafish, v'ish tov, shnei masar elafish, and, you know, 20,000 foot soldiers and 12,000 men from Tov. So, you know, so they make this unholy alliance against David. Okay, but before we go any further, I want to go back here and let's take a look at what the Medrash has to say about David, right? Because this is the story of David. I mean, it's the story of Klal Yisrael, but it's really the story of David. Hold on, I've got to plug in again. So why is the Navi telling us this story? Right? We have a whole bunch of stories prior to this where we see David doing amazing chasadim, lefnim mishuras hadin, just the parak before, about how he treats the offspring of Shaul, this crippled offspring of Shaul, and the extraordinary chesed that he does for Yonatan's son. And now we see David doing another chesed. So the Medrash says, I'm going to click on the side of the screen here, take a look on the side. Medrash. Okay. So the Medrash says the following. You know why these stories are juxtaposed? This is not to tell us how amazing David is, but this is actually a criticism of David. Right, this is not that. Oh, look how great David was with Shaul, and how David was Mephibosheth, and how David was with Yonatan, and how David was with all his other enemies, and how he dealt with the people who supported Shaul, and how he dealt with the people who were treacherous to Shaul. Right, those were all the Fnim Mishur Sadin, amazing chasadim. But here, the Medrash is critical. This is not another point, another addition to the story of David as a Baal Chesed. This is a counterpoint to these previous stories. So look at the Medrash. Pasuk says, Tzaroris HaMidyanim, you're supposed to provoke the Midianites. Afal pishakasavti kisigravir lehilachem alaha v'karasi elaha l'shalom. Even though generally we say that you're supposed to approach the enemy city and like try to make peace, la'elulo ta'asukim. With these people, there's no making peace. There's no making peace with these people. Lo tidro shloma v'tovasam. Do not inquire about their well-being or their welfare. At you, motzi b'misha bab imahem. B'midas rachamim l'sof balidei bizayon milchamos v'tzaror. If you go down this path, you are going to give succor and kindness to people who are cruel. At the end, you will find yourself being the object of their cruelty and of their cruel behavior. You think you're being such a Baal Chesed? Your Chesed is actually creating terrible, terrible, cruel consequence. You got to know who you're dealing with here. Misha baba midas rachamim l'sof, highlight that. Misha baba midas rachamim sof bali de bizayon milchamos. And who is the expression of this abstract idea? Where do you see this abstract idea doing kindness for people like this only brings about cruelty and terrible tragedy afterwards? Eza ze David. This is David HaMelech. David is the one who did this. Vayomer David. David said, Es a chesed im Chanun ben Nachash. I am going to do a chesed for Chanun ben Nachash. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, and he's from Moab. Right, and Moab and Ammon are part of that group that somewhat irredeemable. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, he's from Ammon. The king that he had sent him to, that Nachash saved him from, was from Moab. He originally sent his family to Moab. Moab, after he left, killed the family. His brother Elihu ran away into the safe hands of Nachash. So Nachash did a chesed. Nachash is Ammon. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to him, Ata ta'avor al dvarai. What are you doing? What are you doing, David? You are violating my word. I am telling you, these people are no good. Ammon and Moab are irredeemable, or at least they can. Moav in part and Ammon entirely. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ata tavor al dvarai, ani kasafti, I said, lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasam. I said, do not inquire about their peace and well-being. V'ata ose imam gmilus chesed, and you're going to be smarter than me. You're going to be smarter than Hashem, and you're going to do chesed with these guys. For what? For what? Chesed is not always chesed. If chesed breeds milchama. Chesed is not chesed if it brings bizayon, if it brings shame and embarrassment and degradation and human degradation. That's not chesed. That's just naivete. Maybe even stupidity. Maybe even self-righteousness. Maybe arrogance. But it's not chesed. The Medrash continues. Al tehid tzadik harbe. Pasuk in Kohelet says, Shlomo HaMelech. Al tehid tzadik harbe. Don't be such a big tzadik. Shelo yehe adam mevater ala Torah. That a person shouldn't say, I know better than the Torah. I'm going to be mevater. I'm going to, even though the Torah says, no, or even though the Torah says, I'm going to be super religious. I'm going to do it anyway. V'zeh, says the Medrash, v'zeh sholeach l'nachem b'nei Ammon v'lasos imo chesed. This is exactly what David did. He went to send Nichum Avelim. He went to be Menachem Avel to be so kind to these irredeemable corrupt people, sof bali de bizayon. In the end, it came to terrible human degradation, embarrassment and shame. As the pasuk that we just read said, Vayikach Hanun es avdei David, Vayigalach es chatzi zekanam, Vayichros es madveyam b'chatzi ad shesoseyam v'yishalchem. He came to send them to be Menachem Avel, and Hanun took them and ripped off half their beard and tore off their garments over the lower parts of their body, so they would be exposed and just degraded as human beings. Ubali de milchama, and this ultimately ends up with war. Ubali de milchama, not just with war with them. Imaram naharayim umalche tzova umalche maaka v'imbnei amon. So you did a nice thing for this bnei amon, and you're ending up going to war with Amon and their allies that they, you know, they're paid for mercenary allies. Arba umos. That's what your chesed brought about. Vayar Yoav, as the pasuk says a little bit further on, Vayar Yoav ki aysai lav pnei milchama, mi garam leDavid kach. What caused all of this terrible situation for David? Shebikesh lasos tova imisha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu losidrosh shlomam. David decided he was going to be firmer than God, or to quote Archie Bunker, lahavdil, more religious than the Pope. So he decided he was going to be firmer than God. And Hashem says, losidrosh shlomam, these people are irredeemable. You can't make peace with them. And your chesed will only bring about terrible, terrible destruction. Etc. So this is what the Medrash tells us, that the purpose of this parak here, or at least the opening of the parak of telling us about the chesed, the tremendous chesed that David did, is not to tell us what a Baal chesed he is, but in a certain sense to tell us how misguided and what a nar he was, because his chesed brought about terrible tragedy and destruction. So, pasuk says, "Vayishma David, vayishlach es Yoav." David, David hears, what happened. He sends to Yoav this kol tzva hagiborim into all of the soldiers. Vayetzu bnei Amon, vayarchil milchama pesach hashar. And Bnei Amon go out and they wage war at the gate. Aram Tzova, Urechov, Ishtov, Umacha, Levadam, Basadeh. And then you have these other guys out in the field. So you have now fighting on two fronts, right? You're fighting with Amon, and now you're fighting on the other front with these other guys. Vayar Yoav ki haisa elav pnei hamilchama. And Yoav is the chief of the army, right? The chief of staff of the army. Ki haisa elav pnei hamilchama. He saw that the battle line was coming from both front and the rear. He has one front in one direction, one front in the other direction, right? He's got two fronts coming in on him. Vayivchar mikol bachurei Yisrael vayaroch likrasam. And so he made he selected the best soldiers that he could. That's Yeser Ha'amnasam biyad Avishai Achiv, I guess maybe not the best. He made a selection from, and the rest he gave to his brother Avshai, who headed up the other army. So he's got one army confronting Amon, and he has his the other army under his brother confronting the other three groups. Vayomer im techzak aram mimeni v'haysali lishua. And here Yoav and his brother sort of make a pact, and he says, if the Aram is too strong for me, then you come to my aid, and if the Ammoni are too strong for you, I'll come to your aid. Am echad, one nation. We're going to fight this together. You're fighting one battle, I'm fighting another battle, but we are united in our fight. Chazak v'nischazek biadamenu uviadare Eloheinu v'Hashem yaseh hatov beinav. Let us be strong and resolute for the sake of our people and our land, in the land of Hashem. The Hashem yaseh hatov be'enav, and Hashem will do what he deems right. In other words, they are putting their fate and faith in Hashem. They're going to do their hishtadlus. They're going to make sure that the army is running. They're going to call up the reserves and call up the conscripts. But in the end, they realize this is Hashem yaseh hatov, hatov be'enav. Right? So this is an interesting point, counterpoint again. On one level, David, who got us into this mess, was not listening to Dvar Hashem. Right? He went ahead and was going to be firmer than the Pope and go do a nice chesed for Amon. Right? You, as somebody once said, you can never go wrong doing the right thing. Well, the right thing isn't always the right thing, or the nice thing isn't always the right thing. And so therefore he says, Chazak v'nischazek b'yadameinu. So Yoav, so the tikkun, if you will, you know, if David got us into this mess by doing a chesed which shouldn't have been done, so Yoav is going to get us out of this mess by harnessing all the power and all the might of a Jewish army, but recognizing that that power and might is only Hashem yaseh hatov, hatov be'enav. Vayigash Yoav ha'am asher imo lamilchama be'aram, and they go out to war, they march to the battleground, vayanusu mipanav, and the people of Aram flee. Ubnei Amon ro kinas Aram. Now the Ammonites see the Aramites, the Arameans, fleeing. Vayanusu mipnei avishai ve'avo ha'ir. They also run away. Vayashav Yoav me'al bnei Amon ve'avo Yerushalayim. Yoav breaks off the attack against Amon and he goes to Yerushalayim. Vayar Aram kinigaf lefnei Yisrael vayas yachad. The Arameans saw that they had been routed and they regroup. Vayishlach Hadadezer, Vayotze es Aram. Hadadezer sent for and brought out Aram from across the Nahar Prat. Vayavo Chelam v'shovayach sartzva Hadadezer lefnehem. So they're regrouping for another battle. Vayugad leDavid vayasofes kol Yisrael ve'avoras hayarden. And now David says, we're not just going to take it on our territory. We are now going to take the fight to their territory. Vayugad leDavid vayasof kol vayavor. He crosses the Arden. He comes to Chalem, to Chelam. Vayarchu Aram lekras David vayilacham obo. They engage in the battlefield. Vayanas, Vayanas Aram ipnei Yisrael, and Aram flees from before Bnei Yisrael. Vayarog David me'aram shvami osrechev. He destroys 700 chariots, 40,000 horsemen. Veshovach sar tzvao hika vayamasham, and his secretary of defense, his chief of staff of the military, David also kills him. Vayiru kol hamlachim avdei Hadadezer ki nigfu lifnei Yisrael, and all the vassal kings of Hadadezer of Aram, they see that the Jews have routed their enemy. Vayashlimu es Yisrael vayavdum, and they submit to Bnei Yisrael to become their vassals. Vayiru Aram lehoshia od es Bnei Vayiru Aram lehoshia od es Bnei Amon, and Aram was afraid to try to help Bnei Amon any further. So I don't have to do too much application here, but I think that there's a lot to think about when we think about what it means to fight a Jewish war and what it means to be a Baal Chesed and to have humanity and what it means the phrase that I keep hearing is to wage war without losing without losing any human lives. That's basically what I'm hearing in the public parlance these days. But ultimately, what I think this parak tells us is that kol hamarachem al ha'achzari sofel his achzer al hamarachim. Somebody who is kind to the cruel will at the expense of other people
will ultimately end up being cruel to the kind, right? And so, you know, life isn't so, you know, so simple. They're not so simple binary choices of, you know, of right and wrong and good and evil, and what we think to be right. We have to draw our morals and our values from what the Torah teaches us, and that's where this parak begins, and that's where the parak ultimately ends. The parak begins with David assuming his own morality, which, if you recall, was the big problem of Shaul. Shaul thought he was also, if not firmer than the Pope, he thought he was at least smarter than the Pope, right? And this here we see David doing a similar thing, although maybe not to the same extent as Shaul. And ironically, it is Yoav, the chief of the military, who rights the ship, right? David, you know, David, you would think, David HaMelech, yes, he was a warrior, but he was also, a great tzaddik. Yoav ben Tzruya was the head of the military. You would have thought it would have been the opposite. But Yoav ultimately writes the ship. There's one other thing I wanted to read for you before we conclude here. One second. This is the Malbim. He writes the following in his Mincha Ketana. Just a postscript that we talked about, you know, shaving off the beard as an attempt to cause, you know, human degradation and a lack of dignity. So he writes here and he says, "Vayigalach es chatzi zekanam." The Bnei Chanun, you know, shaved off half the beards, and the Chatzi Zekanam corresponds to Chatzi Inyan Lo Yavo Amoni, Kimo Shekasavnu Lamala. So the Mincha Ketana says that this pasuk in the Torah not to be kind to the Amoni, in essence what it's talking about, that is when the beard was ripped, it's like sort of saying, you know, there's a part of the Torah that you agreed to, and there's a part that you said, I'm smarter than. That's like the metaphor, the analogy here of cutting off, you know, half the beard. But he takes it a little further, and he says, Vel derech remez, through a hint, ayin b'mispar katan b'gematria zakan. So the word ayin, I, through, there's another type of gematria which counts letters 1 through 9. Aleph beis gimel tes, and then yud starts over again. And then, you know, yud, chaf, lamed, mem, nun, samach, ayin, pe. So, you know, it keeps starting over again. So the word ayin corresponds to the word zakan in this gematria format. Lirmoz, as if to say, sheshnehem l'davar echad niskavnu. In other words, I'm taking this out of the context that he's writing it, because you really have to see the psukim earlier in Shmuel Aleph. But basically, the way I want to take it is that David sort of covered one eye, and as a consequence, half the beard was removed. Ayin and Zakan are correspond to each other in this Mispar Katan Gematria system. And therefore, there's sort of like a hint in the Pasuk over here also to David's behavior. Anyway, at the end of the day, as I said, without drawing too much comparison to current events, I think there's much to learn and much to think about, and very relevant to where we are in our current state in Eretz Yisrael. In the zchus of our learning tonight, we should recommit ourselves to the values of the Torah, to live according to the values of the Torah, and even though sometimes what we might think might be more sensible might sound more sensible, but at the end of the day, we believe that Torah's Hashem are the values that guide us, and are the eternal values that will help us to thrive and ultimately create a nation and a society that is spiritually refined, kind, honest, full of integrity for each other and for the world at large. And with that, we conclude for tonight. If anybody has any questions or comments, you can share at this time. That's it. Okay. Yeah, Yosef?
David's mother's name was Nitzavet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Mrs. Yishai. Right, thank you. Thank you. Okay. All right, folks. Have a good night. And Mirtzah Hashem, we'll see you in Shul.